Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. If you would open your Bibles to, I believe it's Mark chapter 5, verse 22 to 43 is where we're going to be starting. The title of the sermon this morning is called Logos Amigos. Hey, where'd you get that from? I don't know. 3 o'clock in the morning, who knows? Hallelujah. And I didn't say locos amigos. I said logos amigos. Logos is a Greek word for word. Yeah, and amigos is a Spanish word for friends. Yeah, okay, good. So, silly thing. Anyway, no, but you know, the logos part is something that God's been talking to me about. He's been saying, hey, just make a high emphasis on my word, Henry. How many know that it's the word of God that changes your life? Hallelujah. I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit, when he takes the word and he brings it in your heart and you understand it and you begin to look at it and you say, oh, man, I didn't know that. And he opens things up and he changes your life by his word. It's his word that helps you. And how many of you know that the Bible says this in John chapter 1, if you read it, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, and that's that word, that's logos. I mean, when you see it up here on the board here a little bit, that logos and its meanings. And when you're talking about the Word of God, when you're talking about Scriptures, you're talking about Jesus. That's who he is. He's the word that was made flesh. And so we're going to, let's go to Mark chapter 5. I probably better get there. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you'd help us, Father. And Holy Spirit, just help us to understand what you're saying this morning. Help us to take your word in, Father God. And Lord, we ask you that you would place a fresh anointing on it in our lives, Lord, so that when we hear your word, Lord, it gives us an incentive, Father God, to hold your word and also, Father God, to obey your word. Father, I just thank you for it, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Mark chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 22. And there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of the physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about to see in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, I like that, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And when he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he takes his father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and then commanded that something be given her to eat. Amen. Praise God. How many like this story? Beautiful story when Jesus healed Jairus' daughter and also the woman that had snuck up on him. Is that right? I mean, she was a lady that had, the Bible says, that had this plague many years. And she went to all the physicians and the doctors couldn't do anything for her. And she spent all her money. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Come on, man. Hey, man, it happens. Come on, man. But when she heard about Jesus, she said within herself, if I could just go and touch the hem of his garment, just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Jairus had asked the Lord, come to my house. My daughter is very sick. So can you please come and heal her? I know that if you lay your hands on her. See, Jairus was a man of faith. He goes, I know if you lay your hands on her, she'll be whole. She'll be fine. So Jesus says, I'm coming. So he's going, and this lady secretly sneaks up and just taps the edge of his garment. Immediately, the Word of God says that virtue flowed out of him. That healing power that Jesus was walking in, whoom, flew out, and it got all over that lady, and she was healed. The issue of blood that she had, it dried up immediately. Come on, the power of God, man, I love it. That's what Jesus does for folks. Amen. How many know that power is still the same today? Amen. It is still the same, if not more powerful. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Jesus turning around and say, hey, who touched me? Who touched me? His disciples are like, come off it, man. Come on, look at all these people. They're bumping around. You're trying to walk through the skinny street here, man. They're bumping into you, waving at you, and you're wondering who touched you. But Jesus said there was a touch. I felt a touch that was different than all the other touches. Is that right? Oh, man, whenever you get a hold of Christ, man, whenever you get a hold of Jesus, man, and you touch that, man, there's something that happens. Can I tell you, when you just reach, when you get a hold of Jesus, something happens, man. I remember when I first listened to the gospel of Jesus, when I first got saved, man, it something happened. When I reached out and said, Lord, can you help me? Woo, man. Touched my life. So much so that, let me tell you, I didn't like English. Did you like English, Donnell? English in school? No. Anybody like English in school? How many English people here, man? Come on, man. I wasn't very good at it. I was pretty bad at it, as a matter of fact. I didn't care where the period was. I didn't care where the semicolon, I didn't care what it meant. I don't care. So what? What do I need that for? If I'm working on a car, what do I need that for? Come on, man. Give me something I can use. Hey, man. Didn't care about English at all. But I would do the work. And there was a class that I had, and it said, hey, you gotta do an oral report on your work. And not this guy, not me. Every time I talk in front of people, I shake like crazy. I said, I don't do that. And the teacher said, hey, I read your report. It's pretty good, actually. All you got to do is just read it. Just read it. Don't even look up. Just read it to us. I'll take that. failing grade, and she gave me an F. How many, what do you guys think? Nah. Stubborn, huh? Yeah, but anyway, got my F. When the Lord said to me, I want you, when he began to work with me about speaking in front of people, I said, I can't do this. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But you see, so there was something within me that had changed. I want to do what he wants me to do. I believe that he has placed in every one of you. If you're breathing, raise your hand. Yeah, there's some of you aren't breathing yet. And we need some resuscitation. But I would say, if you're breathing, I'm going to tell you this. God has something in your life for you that you haven't even discovered yet. Is that okay? It's really true. Some of the things that you think you know all about yourself, God is saying, hey, just listen to me, and I will show you. I will show you what I designed you for. Praise God. I don't know what happened. Boy. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. So here I am talking in front of folks. Can I tell you that before it starts, I have to worship. I've got to be in worship because I get so nervous to talk to you up here. But once I get here, can I tell you that the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, it's almost like a calming. It's almost like drugs, man. Oh boy. Oh boy, here we go. That's the Lord. He said, "You don't say that." Hey, I'm going to let the hot wire hang out. Is that okay, you guys? I'm going to take this off. I don't know if it's a coat doing it or. Sorry, I'm driving the sound guys crazy. But where was I? Hallelujah. Yeah. Hey, no longer do I shake and rattle and roll out there in the back. But once I get up here, man, the anointing. And you know what? I've gotten accustomed to it, and I like it. You know, if I was so confident back there, what good would that be? If I'm overconfident in doing this, it's when I'm weak, that's when he makes me strong. Isn't that what the Word of God says? When I'm in my weakest spot, that's where he makes me. I'm going to have to quit moving around. Praise the Lord. But I want you to look, some of these things that are important. And the word logos means word, like I said. So are words important to us? Amen. I mean, absolutely, words are so important to us. That's what separates us from the rest of creation. Isn't that right? Is that right? I mean, we can form words and make words and hallelujah. Logos, the word logos is, we talked about that a little bit. It's words. Words are important to ourselves and others. How many of you know it's important that you speak good words to yourselves? Is that right? I mean, anybody in the room mean to yourself? Are you? I mean, you know what? I'll tell you, sometimes we say stuff that we really shouldn't be saying. Is that correct? Sometimes we'll say, man, I'm so dumb. I mean, let other people tell me how dumb I am, but don't let it come out of my mouth. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I got to tell you, I got a friend at work. His name is Carlos. And he'd always tell me, Henry, you're so dumb. And he'd go, Henry, you're so dumb. I said, I love you, Carlos. You're a good friend of mine. And but let it come out of other folks. But you know what? It's okay. I don't need to say that to myself. You don't need to be saying those kind of things to yourselves either. Is that right? How many of you know it's important that you speak what God says to you about yourself? Is that okay? Is that all right? So words are important. They can discourage or encourage. They can wound or they can heal. They can tear down and build up. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And love what? Death or life? What do you want? What would you rather have? Death or life? And it's in the power of the tongue is what the Word of God teaches us. It's what you say. There's something about your words that are important. What God said, God is looking at you and he says, do you realize that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth by his word. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be, the firmament. And there was the firmament. He said all those things he created with his words. The words that we speak are creative. How many know that? They are created and they're also very destructive. So it's important that you take this into account for your lives, that you begin to say good things. Is that okay? All right? Praise God. I'm gonna take you to Numbers, and because what I want to talk to the men in the house. I mean, if you're a man, raise your hand. Yeah, come on. Yeah, I didn't raise mine. Okay, Numbers chapter 30. I'm going to read something to you. And I really, in today's world, guys, this is something. And ladies, you can just say amen. yeah, when I'm reading to the guys. But I think you'll get a little bit of what God's talking about when we read these scriptures, especially in today's world. We can pick up language and stuff that maybe is directly contrary to who we are. Is that right? Do you guys know that? We can just pick up things. Just a movie title might be contrary to who you are. So it's important that we understand that the words that we speak are very important with God, and they should be important with us, because they will, like I say, they will build and strengthen, or they will tear down and hurt some. Numbers chapter 30, starting at verse 1, says, "And Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord has..." And the word is commanded. Is that okay? This is a thing that the Lord has commanded. And he says, "If a man vow a vow to the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." How many agree with that? That's a good deal. When you say something, when you promise to do something, do it. Is that okay? I mean, that's good. I mean, and the Lord said, "Hey, Matt," and you... Basically, when you say you're doing it, according to the word of God right here, he's saying you're binding yourself to it. So how many know, you better be careful what you're saying. You kind of at least think about it. Is that right? Okay. We'll go on. It says, verse 2 says, "If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Verse 3, "If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord..." Now we're talking to the women, is that okay? "If a woman and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she has bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he hears, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she shall bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her." It's the father that, when he hears something coming out of his young daughter, when he said, and it's contrary, I mean, let's just use something as simple. "I just can't do it. I can't do that." Just something that simple. "I can't do that." Those words will bind her soul. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Words are important. And her saying those words, "I cannot do it. I cannot do it." The father, and I'm sure you as parents have always already done this. "Oh, yes, you can. You just got to work at it. You just got to try." But what you're doing basically is disavowing that vow, that thing that she said about herself. You're not allowing it to stay. You are canceling and pushing away. And I'm going to ask you to put up that word disallow, if you will. Look, here's the word disallow in the Hebrew. There should be another one. Disallow. Mm-mm-mm. No? It froze. Is it cold in here? Anybody cold? Hey, praise God. Let me read. Disallow. The Hebrew word is new. N-U-W. Is that up there? N-U-W. Disallow. It's to refuse, to forbid, to dissuade, not persuade, but dissuade, or neutralize, to break, disallow, or make of no effect. What the father is doing when he's stopping his daughter and saying, "No, you don't say that. You can do it. You can do whatever you put your mind to, however you say," the father is disallowing that. He's putting a place or he stops that thinking. Is that okay? Folks, this might sound kind of elementary, but it really isn't. It's powerful if you'll allow it into your life. Now watch what he says now. What verse are we on? Verse 5 says, but if her father disallow her in the day that he hears, oh, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. And if she had at all a husband when she vowed or uttered aught of her lips, out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand. Do you see that? Do you see how the husband or the dad, if he holds his peace at these things, he's allowing those words to take place, allowing those words to find a place in her soul, and it will begin to work on her. It will begin to harm her. Is that okay? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Folks, this is what God is saying. God is saying, hey, look, we need to be paying attention to what's going on. Oh, you know what? Don't just let your kids say anything they want to say. Is that all right? You don't want to be, I mean, hey, kids pick up stuff. How many of you know that? And some of you know. Kids do pick up stuff. My son was, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and he was playing with some G.I. Joes. They were fighting. They were bad G.I. Joes. They're on the same side, but they were fighting. Man, he's fighting with these G.I. Joes. And excuse me, I'm not going to say the words, but I'm going to say, but he, out of his mouth, 3 or 4 years old, probably 4 years old, I'm not sure, he said, take that, you SOB, is what he said, but in the other way. And I go, whoa, 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 what's going on over here? I said, no, you don't talk like that. My mom had been giving him a tape that it says if you sin, you'll lose your blessing from God. So he's looking at me. I said, you can't talk, you can't say words like that, son. It's not good. And I said, you'll lose your blessing from God. And man, he just started crying. And then I go, oh man, I didn't expect that. I mean, repent. Come on, let's tell God we're sorry. And then, I mean, it worked out real nice for him. But but I'm going to tell you, kids pick up stuff. But it's important that we understand that we got to listen for those words, listen to what they're saying, and put a stop to some of those things. Is that okay? Is that all right? You know you should do that to yourself too. You know you should do that to your husband, your wife, and say, okay, hold on. And you know, you really shouldn't say that. You know, and how many of you know that sometimes husbands and wives just don't like being corrected by one another? Is that okay? How many of you are like that? Nobody wants to raise their hand, but I bet there's a bunch of you in here, man. They say, man, don't you correct me. Don't you tell me anything. Hey, man, I'm the husband. I'm the man of the house. Hey, really, like Brother Reuben was telling me. What was that? Like Brother Reuben was telling me, he goes, hey, somebody told him, hey, your wife wears the pants of the house, doesn't she? He goes, yeah, I guess so. He goes, because I wear trousers. Anyway, maybe you'll get that anyway. But it's, folks, it's really important. Verse 7, it says, and her husband heard it and held his peace at the day that he heard it. Then her vows shall stand and her bonds wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand. It's funny that the words that you say are very powerful. And those things that you speak, they will stick. So there has to be something within you that says, I'm not going to say those things anymore. Verse 8 says, if her husband disallows her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow. He shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of no effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. But every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband has utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceeds out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband has made them void. How do you like that? I mean, when they're different, when they're not good for you, when they're not good for, I mean, just disallow them. And the Lord shall forgive her every vow, every binding oath to afflict the soul. Her husband may establish it, or her husband, or make it void. You see that? Folks, do you see where it says afflict the soul? There are things that build your soul. And there are very real things that afflict your soul. And what comes out of your mouth is placing a moving, if you will, path for you to go in that direction. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is saying, hey, you need to watch. Is it okay if I say, wash your mouth? Wash your mouth? I used to have a friend at work, man. He had quite an accent. And we would be downstream from him, and he's going to wash out with a hose. And he'd say, wash out. I'm going to wash out. And so we used to all laugh. Okay, watch out. We're going to get wet. But folks, watch what you say. I'm getting a little confused here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 109. I want to just show this. Give you this one. Thank you, Donnell. You're doing a great job. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. I just want to show this to you. I know it says it different in the NIV, but in the King James, it says, my soul is continually in my hand. And what does it mean by that? It means your soul is under your care. You make the choices of what you're going to let come in and what you're going to push away. You make the choice. Whether it be things of God, you still make the choice. God does not force you. How many of you know that? How many know that God does not force you in anything? He will not force you to hear him. He will not force you to get saved. How many of you know that? Getting salvation is a willing thing. I said, you get to a point where you say, God, I need you, man. I need you in my life, God. And God responds to that, but God will not force you. He never forces anybody. If he forced you, if God forced us to serve him, what kind of a God would he be? He's a loving God, and he's not going to force any one of us. It's a choice that you make. Say, you know what? I want to serve God. So this scripture right here, it says, my soul is continually in my hand. You have the choice to make the right decisions or the incorrect decisions. It's all in your hand. God says, I will help you. Do you know that, you know, some folks call it free will. We have a free will. How many goes, yeah, free will. But do you really? Because the Word of God tells us that, like, God says this. He says, look, I place before you life and death. And he says, here they are. But he's like a good father. He's always saying, hey, choose life. He'll tell you, choose life. He doesn't say, hey, okay, there they are. Pick one, whatever you want. No, he's a good father. He's like a father that would say, hey, man, tell this child, you know, hey, you cannot get next to that campfire. Stay back. Stay away. He knows what damage it is. And so he'll push, keep that child from getting close to that campfire. That's the way the father is. But he uses words. He uses the logos to tell us. He says, look, I place before you life and death. Choose life, though, because it's the best thing for you. And I would say, man, I'm glad I chose life. I really am glad I chose life. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Hallelujah. We're gonna get down deep now. How many of you guys like that? We're going to get down inside of you, man, all right? Here's what the Word of God says. Jesus is speaking here. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of heart brings forth good things. Out of his heart, you bring forth good things. So the good things that in your heart, well, you see this. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. And then he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? It creates words. Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth begins to speak because it's in your heart. Come on, I'm not talking about in your brain. I'm talking about in your heart. What's in your heart, you're going to begin to speak. So know this, that you were created in the image of God. Do you know that? That's what the Word of God says. Do you remember when Jesus and they were trying to trap him, and they told him, "Hey, should we serve Caesar? Should we pay taxes to him?" How many know Jesus paid his taxes? Is that all right? How many of you pay your taxes? Okay, never mind. Know this, that Jesus, when they said, "Should we pay taxes?" And Jesus looks at him, he says, "Toss me a coin." He says, "Show me a coin." And Jesus looks at the coin, and on that coin is a picture of Caesar. And he goes, "Whose image or superscription is on this coin?" And they go, "Well, it's Caesar's." And Jesus, I love what Jesus says. He goes, well, tosses it back to him. He says, "Well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God's." See, we are created in the image of God. That image on that coin was of Caesar. So Jesus says, "Hey, give it to Caesar." But he says, we are the image of God. And in that image, folks, I'm going to say, there's a creativity within each and every one of us. And that creativity, it will work. It will bring forth good things, but it will also, is that what it says? An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will bring forth evil things. So what's in your heart? There's a commercial. What's in your wallet? What do you got stored up in your heart? What good things do you have in your heart? Or what evil things are in there? Because I guarantee you, because the Word of God said it, Jesus said it. You can argue with me all you want. Talk to him. This is what Jesus said. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. You're going to create things out of that abundance. Isn't that cool? Ooh, man, I like that. You guys are having a good time here, right? Yeah, Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. Let's look at this. A good man out of the treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart out of evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, now check this out, every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account thereof. When? The judgment. It says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Is that crazy? That's the Word of God, folks. What's in your heart? What are you creating? What kind of, sometimes we create our own messes. Is that right? Because we don't pay attention. Sometimes we'll just say something. I had a lady tell me one time, "Well, I'm Irish and I just speak my mind." Whoa, well, you be careful with that, man. Because just speaking that thing, you can be creating some trouble, not only for yourselves, but for also those around you. Is that okay? Is right. Speak good things. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 109. I'm going to show you this one again. My soul is continually, listen, your soul is in your hand. Sometimes as a pastor, I would like to just kind of, maybe pastor, come here, John. Uh-oh. Yeah. Sometimes, as a pastor, I would just like to go, open your mouth, and just reach down in there, man, and pull out some of those words do you guys know what I'm talking about? Sometimes, because I tell you, sometimes, as a pastor, I recognize words that are coming out of folks' mouths. And I say, man, that is contrary, God. That's contrary to not only what you are, but also to who you are. I mean, not you, but you can sit back down.
No, I don't want to.
Okay, you can stay with me. I appreciate it. Hey, sometimes I wish I could do that, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't. I cannot do that. All I can do is speak what God tells me to speak. And allow, there's a person that his name is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that reaches in and grabs that, takes a hold of it, and says, where do you want me to throw this away at? Where can I get rid of this? Because I'm going to tell you, folks, Those things that are within us, we need to start looking at them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Recognize what you're saying. Recognize the things coming out of your mouth. Recognize them. And say, Lord, where did that come from? Oh, man. And when you recognize it, say, Lord, help me with that. I don't want to be bad-mouthing my brother. I don't want to be creating gossip. I don't want to be doing this thing. God, I want good things coming out of my mouth. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's Philippians chapter 4, 8. Almost done. Finally, brothers. It's been here all morning. Finally, man. Finally, brothers. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what does it say to do? Think on these things. Think on them. Place those things. Because I'm going to tell you, the word itself, logos, not only is the word spoken, but it's also words that you're being, that you're thinking. That word logos captures everything that's within you. Captures the words that are coming out of you, and it also captures the word that is being generated within you. So allow the things that are good, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, let those things come out of you. Now I want to take you this one, this last scripture here, Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. And I want to get, what I want to do is get everybody stand up, everybody that can. I mean, wake up your friend next to you. Say, hey, get up. Man, he's almost done, man. Wake up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, thank God he's almost done. Amen. Hallelujah. Check this out. I want to start you out this morning, this week. I want to start you out with this psalm. Is that okay? Amen. This is a psalm that I want you to put on your lips every morning, if you will. Write it down and just put it on your lips every morning and speak these words to yourself. You're going to notice this is a psalm of David. David wrote this. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is within me. Bless his holy name. I want you to notice that he is speaking to his soul. Is that right?
Yes.
He is speaking to his soul. He's made a decision to speak to his soul. And he says, hey, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Then he says it again, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he tells his soul, do not forget his benefits. And that's what I say to you this morning. I want you to not forget his benefits. How many know that there's benefits? He's got better benefits, God does, in MetLife. Is that okay? Can you say amen? He's got better benefits I don't know, some of those other guys. But God has benefits, and here they are. Benefit number one, I want you to read it with me. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who's that? Who does that for you?
Jesus.
The Lord. How did he do it? He gave his son to die on a cross for you. They took him off that cross, buried him, and in 3 days he rose again to make you, to let you know that God is saying, the deal is done. The sins are paid for forever. Hallelujah. Do you get that? Who forgives all your iniquities. The next one, it says, who heals what? All your disease. Can I tell you, I need you saying this every morning, folks. I need you to program your soul. Get that in your soul, man. He heals all your diseases. Well, what about, I don't care what, all is all. Is that right?
Amen.
All means all.
All.
All means all. He heals all your diseases. He didn't leave one out. He didn't forget about one. He paid on that cross. He paid by his stripes that he took on that whipping tree. He paid for all your disease. By his stripes, you've been healed. The next one, who redeems your life from destruction. How many of you like that? Let me tell you, the Bible says this. The Word of God says this. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he comes to do. But Jesus told us, I have come that you might have life, and life even more what?
Abundant.
God wants to give you life better than you've ever had life before. He just don't know about it yet. You know that he has things for you that you've got no idea. And he says, if you will listen to me and begin to put these things in your spirit, begin to speak them out of your mouth, I want to tell you something. You're going to begin to see and hear things that you hadn't heard before. Because God loves you and he cares about you. You are unique. You are, there's never been anyone like you in the earth. Never. And when you die, if you die, there'll never be anyone like you again, ever. That's how unique you are, you and God together. That's how unique you are. So don't ever let somebody try to tell you that you need to be this or that or the other. Because, yeah, you say, hey, what do you mean? I said, man, I don't have to do it your way. I'm doing it the way that the Lord has me do it. And that's cool, man. You are, man. He redeems your life from destruction, removes that destructive element, places his son there, man. And then he says, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. How many like that? Crowns you. You've got a crown. How many, everybody go like this? Got your crown on? Put your crown on. You got a crown with tender mercy and loving kindness because he loves you. He loves you. And you say, but I've done something wrong. Lord, but I chewed out that guy that, I don't know, took that shopping cart from me. I chewed him out. Lord, I did something wrong. Tender mercies and loving kind. God loves you, folks. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. This last one, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Do you know what those good things are? It's his word. It's these things we've been reading about. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all is within me, who heals all my diseases. He forgives all my iniquities. That's what he's saying. He's going over. He says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. And then he says this, so that your youth is renewed as the eagles. How many are good for that? How many of you want that? How many desire that? I'm going to tell you something. The word of God says, they that wait upon the Lord, they will not be weary. They shall walk and they will not faint. They shall run. Where's Arden? Where you at, brother? I'm going to pick on you again. 86 and a half, man. And I will tell you something about my brother Arden. He's in and out of this building, and he's doing things, man. 86 and a half. And I said, praise God. And I'm gonna be cheering him on when I'm 50, and and he's 120. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed as the eagles. You know, you can do more than what you ever thought you can do. You can. You know, you can be quicker than you ever thought you could be because of the word of the Lord. Because you place his word on your heart. You get it into your spirit and into your soul. And then it begins to do something. It begins to generate. It begins to create. Woo! Can I tell you, folks, you've got no place. You've got no room for things that are contrary to God. You've got no place in your spirit. Allow his word. Allow his word to renew you and rebuild you and strengthen you. Is that okay? Everybody bow your head. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are watching over them. You are taking care of them. Father, they're hearing these words today because, Father, you love them. And God, that you are doing things for them they cannot see because you're invisible. But God, I know that you're doing great things for them, Father God. So, Lord, I thank you for it. I ask you, Father God, that you would strengthen your people. You would strengthen them for the journey. Strengthen them for the battle. Strengthen them, Father God, for the things, Father God, that you have placed in their lives, Father, to build them. Thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it this morning. I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Can we just give God a clap offering this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming this. Thank you.